ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट नंबर 2। स वै बर्हिषि देवेभ्यो स वैर्बर्हिषि देवेभ्यो भागं प्रत्यक्षम् उच्चकैः अददद् यस्य पितरो देवा सम्प्रश्यं नृपः।
What two word meaning? Saha, he, Vishwaroop. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O Maharaj Parikshit, the demigods were related to Vishwaroop from his father's side, and therefore he visibly offered clarified butter in the fire while chanting mantras such as Indraya Idam Swaha. This is meant for King Indra. And Idam Agnaye, this is for the demigod of fire. He loudly chanted these mantras and offered each of the demigods his proper share. Text 3, because there is no purport, we'll take the next verse. Sa eva hi dadau bhagam paroksham asuran prati yajamano avahad bhagam matrusneha avashanugaha. Although he offered clarified butter in the sacrificial fire, in the name of the demigods, without the knowledge of the demigods, he also offered oblations to the demons because they were his relatives through his mother. Purport. Because of Vishwaroop's affection for the families of both the demigods and the demons, he appeased the Supreme Lord on behalf of both dynasties. When he offered oblations in the fire on behalf of the asuras, he did so secretly, without the knowledge of the demigods. So this chapter is entitled, The Appearance of Demon Vritrasura. So we heard in the last chapter, which was entitled, The Narayan Kavach Shield, that after Vishwaroop gave the demigods this Narayan Kavach Shield, then they began performing a sacrifice in which the oblations were offered to appease the Supreme Lord on behalf of the demigods. That was the purpose of the sacrifice, that this Vishwaroop, the Brahman, the priest, performs the sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord on behalf of demigods. And that was being done visibly. Visibly that was being done, as it is said in the last verse, Prabhupada is saying, Vishwaroop was chanting, Idam Indraya Swaha, Idam Agnaye. So in this way, by offering, that Supreme Lord was pleased or appeased to do benefit of the demigods. But here we see, sometimes there we think that the voice is only of one type, that is spoken loudly. But the Vedic scriptures discuss the voice of three types. We also hear japa is of three types. One in the mind, one murmuring, and one it is spoken loudly. Like sometimes, this is natural. We always have these two types of voices in our mind also. Duplicitous voice. Sometimes externally we may welcome someone. Oh, please come. But in the same heart we think, why he has come? Both voices are there. Sometimes it happens. So both voices exist simultaneously. And so, therefore once our Navin Nirat Prabhu, who was there in Pune when he came initially, here many years back, he was telling, during books distribution, All techniques are very important, to be presentable, to speak nicely. All these things are very important. We can't neglect their importance. But he was telling a very important thing. He was asked, how you can distribute so many books. He said, if our inner voice is there, not to like, okay, I come back and now I have done so many books. If our inner voice says that I am doing this book decision so that this soul who is there in front of me will get spiritual benefit. So although that voice is not spoken, we can go and tell a person on the road, hey, this is for your spiritual benefit, please take it. Not generally possible in the road. But if we pray to the Lord, that Lord, if he takes the book, he will advance spiritually. So let whatever you think may happen. So this voice, our mental, therefore we say sometimes we may enter a room which is full of people intoxicated. They may not speak something, but we feel some different vibration. And when we go and be with devotees, we feel a different vibration. So these various three types of voices are generally mentioned in various scriptures: murmuring, inner voice. We don't base our conclusion on the scientific researches, but still they are also working in the same line. Some scientists in the years back, I was reading in a newspaper, they were telling that when the animals are killed, they also create something like pain waves. Although they are not spoken, they are not heard in one way, but these waves they are finding, they are doing research. But we know these types of, on every level there is an existence. What happens, the modern science generally deals on the existence of only these five gross elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether. But there is an existence on the level of mind, intelligence and ego as well. And therefore this food of science of food is there. Food cooked by a person who is in mode of goodness may sometimes be equally nutritive and equally tasty as a food cooked by a person in mode of ignorance and passion. From vitamin point of view, it may be same. From taste point of view, it may be same. It may happen. But then the effect on us, on our mentality and the personality will be different. The existence on all the levels, physical levels, which the scientists deal with, and also on the mental levels, it may appear the same food. At the same time, we say the food which is offered to Krishna, like if you cook, which is offered to Krishna, on vitamin point of view, it remains same. It will give the same energy if we eat one which is offered and which is not offered. But in the mental, and more than that, on the spiritual point of view, it will also work on the soul in a positive way. And if not offered, it will work in a different way. So sometimes these voices are not heard, but these voices do have effect. Modern scientists are trying to find out, like they call it telepathy or something like that. But we know these all levels of existences are there. And this question also comes, that how it happens that when some, like suppose we offer some grains in the fire, how like those who are in the technical side of field, they may think this way, that when we are offering these grains to the fire, how exactly the demigods receive it? Because we see them getting burned in front of us. When we offer to the in the fire, sacrificial fire, the grains are burned, the fruits are burned. So we should understand what is burned is the gross elements. But the subtle elements, they remain. As we Prabhupada generally say, the higher planets, they don't have the gross elements generally, like Swarga, Loka and higher planets. Like we hear, Brahmaji's body is made up of mostly only intelligence element. So even if you offer him earth and water element food, it may not be much useful for him. It's our food. Similarly, the bodies of the demigods, higher planets, not Brahmaji, middle, somewhere, higher than earth, they don't have earth and water element much. Something of air, fire, but mostly subtle elements, mind, intelligence, ego. So although the things which are offered, the gross part may be burned, but the subtle part is never burned by fire. Earth, water, fire. Till that, fire can have effect. Fire can have effect on the elements lower than it, earth and water, but not on the elements higher than it, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. That cannot have any effect on that. So yes, we may think, oh, this is burned. This is very ignorance of the reality of these eight elements. So what happens is, yes, the gross part is burned. We see, no one can deny it. No one can deny it. But what is offered are the other elements which the demigods get. So there are various ways, and generally we should not base our conclusions only on what is visible.
Pratyaksha Praman. That is very short or very, what we call it, insignificant part of evidence. Insignificant part of evidence. Even in the court, sometimes if I say, oh, I saw him doing some wrong thing, then the court doesn't have any direct evidence. Court did not see some criminal doing wrong thing. But only on the word, Shabda Praman, it can give punishment. Similarly, in our understanding of Vedic scriptures and the Supreme Lord, we did not base our understanding and logic only on the Pratyaksha Praman. It is very short. Because by Pratyaksha Praman, I is also connected to fire. I limit is connected to fire. So again, earth, water, fire. We are limited till that three elements only. But mind is a very important element. Intelligence is a very important element. Ego, and then the soul is the most important element. The soul is, actually that is the most important element. So therefore, sometimes it is bewildered us that how this yajna, it is all ignorance. Kya agni mein dalte hai, sab jal jata hai. How can the demigods get it? No. Yes, gross elements do get burned. But the demigods also receive their nutrition. It is a technique. All these things, technical things are available. Just like in modern age, you can give an example. And over there is this email. Digital things are there. So this is very like, I typed one email a few days back. And I sent it to many devotees. One of the recipients was in America. So within, I sent it and within 4 minutes I got a call from that person. And I said, how do you know? Generally we fix up appointment and get a call. Then no, I received your mail. I saw you send it 2 minutes back. And I knew that you were in the office. So I immediately called you up. So this is very, what I typed, the letter was a gross form. But what went to US, generally if we send a postal letter, it may take 10, 15 days. But there is a subtle form of transmission as well. Some digits are passed on, and again the effect is received on the other end. So something like that can easily happen with other elements, other than the earth and water elements which we see, which work in this material world. The effect can go at a far off distance. And the subtler the elements, as Prabhupada said, mind is so fast, you can sit here, and say, no, I go to the moon, and we are on the moon. No, I go to the Mars. And on the mental level, we are on the Mars. So subtle elements are very fast. They need not be seen. So in this way, the sacrificial fire and all these things work. But this Vishwaroop, Vishwaroop, he was in a very unique position. On his father's side, he was connected to demigods. And on his mother's side, he was connected to demons, something like that. I'll have to check up. But on one side he was connected to demigods, and on one side he was connected to demons. So although demigods employed him or requested him, not employed character, but requested him to perform sacrifice on their behalf, he was very secretly giving some benefits to demons also. To when the turn of offering obeisance to demigods was there, he was chanting very loudly. And they were, yes, yes. And then in between secretly to demons also sacrifices. So they are also getting benefit. This is very natural. For a human being, it's very natural that a person is attached on his bodily level of consciousness. Therefore we see Kunti Maharani, she prays, oh Lord, please break my bondage from Pandushu and Vrishnushu. My attachment is unto the both families, Pandavas, because they are my husband's sides, and Vrishni from there because of my side. So this attachment is there. And Kunti Maharani knew that it's very natural to be attached on both sides, father's side or husband's side, and wife or mother's side. And therefore specifically, she is praying like that. Oh Lord, please break my attachments on both the families so that I will remember only you. So to be attached to our family members is very natural. It's not something like Srila Prabhupada used to say this about telling this verse of Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna says in 9th chapter, first of all you should understand Lord Shri Krishna is a very unique personality. In the sense, he is the supreme person, inconceivable, and all contradictions can be simultaneously present in the Supreme Lord. If you see 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita itself, there are so many contradictions. Everywhere, yesterday I was discussing this point in the Sardar Patel Gaji event. Krishna in the fourth chapter says, Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishwari prisam. I am unborn. And then he says, Bahuni me vatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna. Then ninth chapter in the beginning he says, I am in everything. And then he says, I am out of everything. Or when Lord Krishna was playing that little part of a small boy, Mother Yashoda was outside, but she was also seeing herself inside the mouth of. This is all contradictions are possible for the Supreme Lord. And here also, which is not practically possible by ordinary human being. But Lord Krishna says, that is my nature. What he says? Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priya. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyam. I envy no one, nor I am partial to anyone. So Krishna says, samoham. I am not partial to anyone. That means he is saying I am equal to everyone. But then he says, one who worships me in devotion is a friend of mine. He is in me and I am also a friend to him. So somebody may get confused. Krishna is speaking contradictory statements. One place he says, I am equal to all. And in the very same breath, what to speak of next verse? In the very same breath, he says, I am very inclined to my devotees. Srila Prabhupada in one lecture was saying, this is very natural. He said, just like a father, a father has five sons. Father is equal to all sons, but still he is inclined to the son who is very obedient and disciplined. He may give his property and his business to the son who is very obedient and disciplined. That doesn't mean he is not inclined. If the other son also becomes obedient and disciplined, he will also give him. So the father in his heart is equal to all the sons. But still, one son who is obedient and disciplined, he is more inclined to help him out. In a similar way, Lord Krishna is equal to everyone. Samoham sarvo bhuteshu. But one who is devotee, Prabhupada says that is very natural. Just like for a father, it's very natural to be more inclined to the son who is obedient and disciplined. Although he is equal to all the sons, still he is more inclined. Similarly, Lord Krishna is equal to all the living beings, the souls, but still he becomes more inclined to those who are his devotees. This doesn't break his equanimity to all the living entities. So Lord Shri Krishna says, this samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyasti na priya ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyam. So this is Supreme Lord. He is completely equal to all, but still he is inclined to devotees. So it's because Lord also has his characteristics, the soul also is naturally inclined to be more attached to his relatives. Suddenly when it comes to material sphere, it gets slowly more and more perverted, but still that inclination is there. So that inclination is there. And sometimes as we devotees also have inclinations to our relatives, friends, like that. And that's exactly nothing wrong in one way. Like Prahlad Maharaj also, he asked for the benefit of all the living entities, whole world. He said, let everyone go, let me remain. But still he asked that let my father Hiranyakashipu be delivered. So in this way, this is natural. Like once when His Grace Dayaram Prabhu was here, by these natural inclinations, we can't say Prahlad Maharaj is attached to his father. He's asking only for his father. No. Once Dayaram Prabhu was here, he was telling this, that sometimes one may be pure devotee, but in a moment of a second of danger, it's like suppose in a boat and boat is drowning, he may pray, oh Lord, please save me. That doesn't remove him from the status of being a pure devotee, although he's praying for his own body. That's not just qualification, no, he's praying for his own body, no, he's not a pure devotee. So that is very natural. That's very natural that we may make prayers like that, like Prahlad Maharaj prayed for his father Hiranyakashipu. This family attachment is a very strong, a bodily consciousness is a very strong identity in this material world. So here we see, even though Vishwarup, he was engaged by demigods, but using the same paraphernalia which was provided by the demigods, he was even using it to appease his relatives on the side of his mother, that is demons. So in this material world, these things are going to happen. Bodily consciousness, janasya mohoyam aham mameti, very deep rooted. My own identity. I am Mr. So-and-so, and now these are my friends, these are my enemies. Once we have this bodily identity, then this duality is set in. heat, cold, honor, dishonor, friend, enemy, good, bad. All these dualities will immediately set in the more we are bodily conscious. And therefore we see the essence of Bhagavad Gita is devotional service, completely agreed. Not agreed, it is. The surrender to the Supreme Lord. Every verse, every chapter, in the end, in the beginning, Lord Krishna is telling, surrender to me. Yogi Namapi Sarvesham. If you just observe these verses, all the chapters Lord Krishna is telling. And the message of Gita is very clear. Rendering pure devotional service to Supreme Lord. But still, if we observe Bhagavad Gita, equally or almost many times and almost in every chapter, if we see, Lord Shri Krishna also stresses for a practicing soul to be equal in his dealings. Heat and cold, honor, dishonor, friend and enemy, and what else? Pandita, Samadarshina, and he is equal to benefactor, neutral and enemy. So many things. Almost in every chapter is one or two verses which tell us that how we should remain equal, equipoised in various circumstances. Because this being in duality is connected with bodily consciousness. And Lord Krishna wants us to get out of this. And ultimately he says, that is the original reason for us to be in this material world. Iccha dvesha samuthena dvanda mohena bharata. Now that iccha and dvesh, desire and hate. This is the original cause. Iccha dvesha samuthena. From these dualities come dvanda. All these material dualities come from these. Iccha and dvesh. One iccha is to become God. We all want to become God in one way. Like, given an opportunity, we might become a king of India. Why not? If someone says, okay, now I have this facility. Mr. Prabhuji, you can become king of India right now. You have to just agree. Who will say no for it? That desire is there. But we know it's a very difficult one. Right now to become king of India for me is a very difficult one. So we may think, okay, let me just become a boss of this company. We generally think desire is to be more physical. But if given an opportunity, in a similar way, if given an opportunity, said, oh, now there is facility, you can become God of whole universe. Yeah, why not? That tendency is there to become enjoyer, iccha. And therefore, sometimes that tendency is manifested, as Prabhupada says, to become God is the last snare of Maya, to merge into Krishna. So that tendency is there. Only thing, because right now we can't become God or even President of India, we don't dwell in that desires very much. But we may think, oh, suppose we are devotees, let me become a bigger preacher. Therefore this, or let me have excellent speech, or let me have many followers, or let me become some, if in material world, let me consume this another company, if you are in the business world. Let me take over this company, or let me, something like that may, these desires are there. But ultimately, these desires lead us, the subtle desire is to become God. Slowly, slowly, right now we can't say, just like, we know, right now I can't become President of India, but desire is go step by step, to become God, inherent. So, iccha is to become God, and dvesh is to envy one who is higher than us, and ultimately envy the Supreme Lord. Anyone who is doing better than us, we feel envy. Sometimes out of this envy, even devotees and especially non-devotees, being mad of this envy, they try to outperform another person. In material world, that is there. His joy, like there is competition, and then the joy of attaining something is not really joy. Joy of defeating other is more joyful. I have become better than him. Like this story was being told by many people. I don't know exactly the story, but this person, there was some story, if I lose one hand, let him lose two hands or something like that. So this envy is there, that let him lose. What happens to me is not a problem. He will lower than me. So this is, iccha is to become God, and dvesh is to envy whoever is more than us, but ultimately the topmost is the Supreme Lord. So dvesh is to envy the Supreme Lord. These are the original cause of our fall down. This is the original duality. And that is trying to become God, desire to become God, and envy God, who is higher than us, who is on a higher position than us, materially, physically, we envy him and we want to become better than him, outdo him. So these are original dualities when we come into this material world. Ichha dvesha samuthena dvanda mohena bharata. So this is, and sarge yanti parantapa, since long, long history, this all the souls are entangled into this dualities, desire and hate. So this dualities come from bodily identification. And therefore, if we see Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shri Krishna, many times I was just thinking, what are the many principles which Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, repeats. Certainly the most important is to surrender to him. That is the first. But other principles which I found, few of them, which there can be many more, I just thought of, is this equality in this material world with respect to people, elements, items, emotions. Then second one which I found was knowledge of material world, especially with respect to three modes of nature. There are various chapters, 16, 17, 18, 14, especially in the latter part of Bhagavad Gita. More detailed knowledge is there on that point. So these two, three topics which I found that Lord Krishna is repeating again and again. So this is a very important point for a devotee's life. And in this material world, if we see people, they are completely bewildered by this desire and hate. As we hear, we see, although Vishwarup, he could not overcome his attachment to his relatives from the mother's side. And in this whole universe, all the living beings are completely working on this element. My father, Janasya Mohayam, Aham Mameti, my mother, my this, my that, my property, my kingdom, my house, my everything. My position, certainly consciously or unconsciously, we still think in those lines. And ultimately, I would like to end that in this material world, because of this ichha and dvesh, actually what is happening is we are all suffering again and again. Forgetting Lord, our ichha should be to become servant of the Supreme Lord. That is our natural position. Gopi Bhartur Pad Kamalor. Das Dasanu Das. It's very clear in this, it's very obvious in this material world. How can people not see it? It's so obvious. I was discussing yesterday with some students. I told them, see, whatever you want to desire, do you not want to, everyone wants to desire eternal life. No one wants to become old, no one wants to become die. Everyone wants to have the best of food, the tasty food, the fresh food. Best of air, best of life, health, beauty, natural settings all around. Everyone wants all these things. Perfect, clean, big palace, house, a nice family, everything going on very nicely. No disease, no danger of anything going down in the future, no death. All of us want it inherently. In the sense, from inner, this desire is there. But the question was asked, what is the purpose of spiritual world? I said the purpose of spiritual world is to live in all these desires. We have all these desires which are natural to the soul. But nothing of these desires will be fulfilled in this material world. It's just simply impossible. We all want to be completely happy, satisfied. But it's simply impossible to be like that in material world. And the spiritual world is the place where we can live according to all our. Like just like when some devotees in US were doing Harinam, and after Harinam sometimes we give a lecture. So after the lecture they're saying, do any one of you want to the place where there is no old age, no disease, no death, eternal life free of old age? And one person raised his hand and they said, okay, come with us. And he became a devotee that way. So that is spiritual world. We want to live in some particular way. Life full of youth, strength, energy, beauty, fame, name, position, house, bungalow, everything. We all want it. But that is simply not going to be possible in this material world. Like Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he made a nice point. He said, after every movie they make, and they live happily ever after. He said, no one lives ever after in this world. And no one lives happily also in this world. Both are false. And they lived happily ever after. No one. This material world is simply impossible to live according to our desires. But that is spiritual world. So this point we have to understand that whatever the way we want to live, that way is in the spiritual world. We should not try to live, fulfill our desires in this material world. They are not going to be fulfilled. They are going to be frustrated. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, if you want to become happy, stop trying to be happy in this world. It's not we should not be happy. We should be happy. Soul means happy. But not in this world. We have to be happy in our connection to the Supreme Lord and in the spiritual world. So when we depend on the Lord, we are happy. And when we depend on our own strength, we are unhappy. That is bound to happen. I just had one small experience which I would like to narrate in the end and then close our talk. That although we make these human arrangements of best living and when we have these great desires, this desire. So, who said that? Asha hai parmo dukho? Pingala. Pingala, she come to this conclusion that the real cause of misery is having desires in this world, expectations. And when they get broken, we get frustrated, angry. So I was just thinking, a few days back, I was living in that base where I go to preach. And generally, because it is outside Bombay, the water supply is not very consistent. It comes every day, but sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. Sometimes it's just what we require. And once in a month or like that, it comes very less than what we require. Generally, it's okay. But still, the expectation is, today water will be very less, so we have to prepare for it. And when it comes more, we are very happy. Arey, aaj pani aaya, chalo, just wash your clothes, do everything. We are so joyful when more water comes. I was just thinking like that. Once I was there, water came for 5-6 hours. And everyone was joyful, dancing, fully blissful, laughing, everything. So when we don't, I just thought over this point. So when the expectation is not there, we think, if Krishna gives, we'll use it. When we get it, we become joyful. And then I was just thinking of another experience in our Bombay, even though we are living in temple, where we have 24 hours running water. 24 hours. And even for 2 hours, water doesn't come. Then we give all bad words to everyone. To name with this Bankim Rai, he doesn't understand. This security, he doesn't know how to on the motor jala diya usne. This BMC, unka tanka bhara hua hai, tansa lake, phir bhi pani chhodte nahi. We just curse everyone, even if we don't have water for 2 hours or 4 hours. Because we are expecting, why, what, it should be as per my order. If we go and there is no tap water, these people don't understand how to manage things, why they are not changing the plumbings. Plumber ko bulao, kaam karwa lo, itna easy hai. We just make hundreds of comments with all negative emotions. Anger and like that. But when we have no expectation and then the things come, I just saw all of us were so joyful. And they were just dancing and singing, kirtan and glorifying that today is the program, it's Krishna's arrangement, we got such a big supply of water, we can cook feast, we can clean, all these things depends. So it's like threadbare. So we are so grateful that things are happening. On the other hand, when we think that things are in our control, and we expect that they should be like that, when it doesn't happen that way, we completely go into negative emotions. So always we should be, I just thought of conclusion that even we may be living in the city where 24 hours of water are there, but we should always expect to depend on Krishna at every moment. We may live in the city, but we should be more conscious that this water is not coming because of our arrangements, human arrangements. Human arrangements may be media, but it's coming because of ultimately the supply of Supreme Lord. And it can be taken away any time. So whenever we get, we should be always grateful. Hare Krishna. So we'll end now. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.